Well, last week we started our Lenten series on some of the unusual prayers in the Bible and what it would be like if we prayed those kinds of prayers. And we started off with Solomon, who was given the chance by God to ask for anything in the world, and who chose to ask for wisdom. And who would pray for something like that when you could pray and have anything? And I challenged you last week to move wisdom to the top of your prayer list for the week and ask for wisdom. And this week, we're going to jump ahead about 15 chapters in the Bible and about 60 years in time. Since we left Solomon, the kingdom has divided. It's split in two. Several kings have come and gone, and the king that now rules Israel is Ahab. And you might not recognize that name, but I bet you've heard of his queen, Jezebel. Jezebel was a nasty person. In fact, she was so nasty that her name has become a label for manipulative, scheming, shameless woman, a Jezebel, we say. And speaking of names, her father was named after the pagan god Baal. And here's a dating tip. If your fiance's dad is named after a pagan god, it might be a red flag. But Ahab married her anyways. And soon Jezebel and Ahab went about murdering the prophets of God and replacing Israel's worship of the Lord with the worship of Baal. So into that setting steps Elijah, one of the remaining prophets of God. And he risks his life to have an encounter with King Ahab. And he issues a challenge, a showdown, a grudge match of God versus Baal to see who is really God. We find that story in 1 Kings chapter 18. When he, Ahab, saw Elijah, he said to him, "Is that you, you troubler of Israel?" "I've not made trouble for Israel," Elijah replied, "but you and your father's family have. You've abandoned the Lord's command and have followed the Baals. Now summon the people from all over Israel to meet me on Mount Carmel, and bring the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table." So Ahab sent word throughout all Israel and assembled the prophets on Mount Carmel. Elijah went before the people and said, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, then follow him." But the people said nothing. Then Elijah said to them, "I'm the only one of the Lord's prophets left." He's not really, but the other prophets have gone into hiding because they're being killed off. But he doesn't know that. So he thinks he's the only one left. "I'm the only one of the Lord's prophets left, but Baal has 450 prophets. Get two bulls for us. Let Baal's prophets choose one for themselves, and let them cut it into pieces and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. I will prepare the other bull and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God who answers by fire, he is God." So this is the great barbecue challenge. Which God can light the fire? And all the people said, "What you've said is good. Good idea." And Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "Choose one of the bulls and prepare it first, since there's so many of you. Call on the name of your God, but do not light the fire." So they took the bull given to them and they prepared it. And then they called on the name of Baal from morning till noon. "Baal, answer us," they shouted. But there was no response. No one answered. And they danced around the altar that they had made. Now, of course, there's no answer, because they're praying to a false god. There's no one there to hear. So Elijah begins to taunt them. "Shout louder," he said. "Surely he's a god. Perhaps he's deep in thought, or he's busy or traveling. You might read in some translations, busy as in busy in the restroom. He's off relieving himself, as some translations put it. Maybe he is sleeping and must be awakened. And so they shouted louder and slashed themselves with swords and spears, as was their custom, until their blood flowed. Midday passed, and they continued their frantic prophesying until the time for the evening sacrifice, but there was no response. No one answered. No one paid attention. Again, because there's no one there. There is but one God, and when we turn to other gods to answer us, no one will pay attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, "Come here to me." They came to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which had been torn down. Elijah took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes, descended from Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, "Your name shall be Israel." With the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he dug a trench around it large enough to hold 2 seahs of seed. This isn't a big trench. 2 seahs is about 3 gallons. So he circles the wood and the meat up on top with a small trench around it. And then he said, "Fill 4 large jars with water and pour it on the offering and the wood." See, he doesn't want anybody to doubt that it's the Lord's work. He doesn't want anybody to think, oh, he just hit a coal in there that's been smoldering away, and now he's going to fan it, and it's going to burst into flame. So he says, "Fill these 4 jars of water and douse everything with it." And he said, "Do it again," and they did it again. And he said, "Do it a third time," and he ordered, and they did it a third time. And the water ran down around the altar and even filled the trench. At the time of the sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed. Now, if you were Elijah, what would you pray for at this moment? Your life is on the line. If you don't get this barbecue lit, you're a dead man. So what would you pray for? Maybe your prayer would be real simple. It's like, "Please God, make this work. Light this fire." Or maybe you think about Jezebel and Ahab and all of the prophets that have been murdered, and you say, "Lord, send a lightning bolt, and not only burn up this sacrifice, but burn up these 450 prophets of Baal. Get revenge for what Ahab and Jezebel have done to your prophets." Or maybe you look out at the people, those people who had once worship the Lord and now have turned away and have allowed the slaughter of God's prophets. And maybe you pray, "Lord, strike these people who have turned away from you. May their faces melt off like the Nazis and Raiders of the Lost Ark." Would you pray something like that? God, do something to get revenge. God, do something. Protect me and punish these unfaithful people. You could pray that. Or you could pray like Elijah. Elijah stepped forward and prayed, "Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again." Who would pray for that? He prays at this great showdown, not for revenge, not for his own glory. He prays that other people would come to know God, and that those who turned away would turn their hearts back to the Lord. Who would pray for that? Sounds strange, doesn't it? And maybe it sounds strange to our ears because we've lost a passion for the lost, for those who have turned away from God, or for those who have never know the Lord. You know, you put a picture of a sad dog on social media, and you get 100 people saying, how can we help? You put a picture of a sad person who doesn't know the Lord, and people won't even look at it. We've lost the passion for the lost. But Elijah, he prayed that the people would know the Lord. Who would pray for that? Well, maybe some Gideons. You ever gone to a hotel room and opened up the drawer and found a Bible there? The Gideons put it there. Or did you ever receive one of their little New Testaments when you went to, maybe when you went to college or when you went into the service or maybe even when you went to jail? Anybody here ever get a Bible from the Gideons? Raise your hand if you ever got a Gideon Bible. They give away 80 million Bibles a year. And why would they do that? Why would they spend all that time and all that money? Well, it all started in a hotel in Wisconsin in 1899 when a couple of traveling salesmen met and decided that they would form an association of traveling salesmen that would support one another in helping to share Jesus with their fellow travelers. And they began to put Bibles in places where people would encounter them, like in hotels, in the hopes that somebody might look at that Bible and read it and then be opened for a conversation about the Lord, and they'd be able to respond. And they've been doing it for over 100 years now. 2 billion Bibles later, in 95 languages and in over 200 countries and territories, the Gideons are still praying for others to know the Lord, just like Elijah. And just like the countless missionaries who are still at work across the world and across the nation. Missionaries who put their lives on the line and risk everything, praying that others would know the Lord. One of my heroes in the faith is Dr. Lowell Guess, 99-year-old retired missionary who grew up in Painesville, Minnesota. I know some of you know the story because you've already talked to me about him. Dr. Guess spent his life ministering in Africa, and even after he retired, he continued to make a number of trips, even up into his 90s, to help out there. Dr. Guess was both a doctor and a pastor. He was a medical missionary. And his work founded what was called the Kiss the Eye Clinic, now the Ruth and Lowell Guess United Methodist Hospital in Sierra Leone, Eye Hospital. And he went there in a very dangerous time that, I don't know if we had the picture of, that old picture of baptisms, hundreds of people he's helping baptize there in a place where not long ago they were killing both doctors and missionaries, pastors. When he was over there, he noticed that a lot of people could not see because they had cataracts. And if you can't see, you can't work. And if you don't work, you can't eat. And so you're reduced to begging. And so he wrote back to the Christians here saying, send an eye surgeon and send an ophthalmologist to hear, because we can change so many lives. We can bring people out of poverty and restore their sight to them if we have an eye surgeon. And they sent him a bag of surgical instruments and a how-to book for eye surgery. Strangely enough, he actually tried it and did a couple of successful surgeries. But he realized if he was going to really give his all to this, that he would have to get training. So he came back and trained further as an ophthalmologist and then went back and started doing surgery. But he never stopped praying for people to know the Lord. He never stopped preaching. He never stopped leading Bible studies. And even when those who had come to him to have their physical eyesight renewed, he would share the gospel. He tells a story in his book, Be a Medical Missionary, about Kombe. Kombe was one of those people who was reduced to begging, and he was begging out outside the Tiama United Methodist Church in Sierra Leone. And some Christians put some money together so that he could go and have eye surgery so he could see again. And when he met Dr. Guest and they were preparing for the surgery, they prayed for both the surgery and they also prayed for him to know the Lord. And he said this to him when he came in. Remember, we also prayed that you might accept the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. Renewed sight will pass away again someday, but to those who give their lives to Christ, to those who know him, they see forever. Dr. Guest says that a year later, he was guest preacher out at the Tiama United Methodist Church, and he looked out, and there was Kombe, who was obviously well-fed, in good health, who could not only see with his eyes, but he could see with his heart because he was worshiping the Lord. Who prays for other people to know God? Missionaries like Lowell Guess. And maybe you. Maybe you. I know some of you go into the prisons and the jails and you lead worship and pray with the prisoners that they might find the Lord or come back to God. Some of you do the Kairos program, which is Curcio for the prisoners. Or some of you are involved in Curcio, which is a weekend an encounter event to meet God. And you give your time and effort to that. Some of you give your time to the kids in the Sunday school, for the youth in the youth group, or for the Awana's kids. And some of you are simply praying for a friend or a family member to know the Lord. It's weighing on your heart because someone you love does not yet have the joy that you have of a relationship with Jesus Christ. Who would pray for others to know the Lord? Well, I hope you do. In fact, this Friday in our Better Than Fish on Friday challenge, it's a challenge to pray for those who are involved in missionary work. It's World Day of Prayer, which was started back in the 1800s by women from a number of churches getting together to pray for missionaries. And it continues to this day. I encourage you to pray for the missionaries, pray for the evangelists, pray for all those who are working to help others to know the Lord. And also pray for that person in your family or that friend of yours who is on your heart that doesn't know the Lord. And here's what I'll do. If you agree to pray for them on Friday, I'll pray for them too. So you just text me or email me or call me, give me their name, and while you're praying on Friday for that person to know the Lord, I'll pray with you. So that's the challenge for this week, to pray for those who don't know the Lord. Pray for those who, like the Israelites, may have once followed God but now have lost that in their heart. Pray for their hearts to return. Pray as Elijah did. Because Elijah didn't pray to a false god who was off using the restroom. Elijah prayed to the Lord Almighty. Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. And when all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." May your prayers be answered like Elijah's. Let us pray. God, we spend an awful lot of time praying for ourselves, but right now we're praying for those who don't know you. We are so grateful to have you in our lives, and we pray for people near and far, and all those who are risking their lives to share the gospel with others. Lord, may this church be a beacon of light so that others may see you. We pray for Dr. Guess and others around the world who've allowed other people to see and know that the Lord is God. Amen.